Welcome back to Ozark and Chill, episode 10, the finale. And Frank, we got exactly what we want, at least what I wanted, man. That was a hell of an episode. What did you think?
Yeah, we talked about the last two being pretty bad in both of our eyes. And I would say that, we did say that this last episode had a chance to save it a little bit for the season. And I give this season a solid B+. I thought it was really good finish. I thought it was really good, you know, end scene, and kind of maybe a little bit less overall than what you're anticipating. But the first 6-7 episodes were great. And I really liked the last episode. So,
oh my God. And the last scene, I called it. I fucking called it. And look, I called a lot of things in the episode with my wife here. And I probably went, you know, I'm in the Hall of Fame. If I'm in the MLB, I was probably 400, maybe batting 500 here, but certainly didn't get them all right. But as soon as I saw Nelson step out of the car and start walking, I said, Helen's going down right here, right now.
Yeah. You're talking about the end scene?
The end scene when Helen takes a bullet to the brain and splatters blood all over Wendy and Marty.
And they're covered in blood and brain remains, and they're hugging a cartel mobster. I thought it was fascinating. What was the motivation in your eyes from it? I know that we'll get it in a year to figure out what that, you know, final straw was, but what do you think happened on that plane or in the meantime?
I think as we saw in the a little bit earlier in the episode, we see Helen acting on behalf of Marty and communicating with Agent Evans, who is a horrible FBI agent, but even he's saying, why isn't he here? This isn't making a ton of sense. We've offered him this deal 100 times. Helen's doing a lot of back channeling and certainly trying to make some power plays. And Navarro, for all of his ruthlessness, seems to be a pretty sharp guy. And I think he figured that out on his end and said, you know, if his daughter's a liar, her daughter's a liability, she's becoming a liability. We know he needs Marty. I think he likes Wendy and said it's time to choose. And it sets up for a hell of a season 4. And that's probably what I'm most excited about. And you gave it a solid B+. I'm just a big dumb idiot. And the last thing I see is probably what I'm going to relate to everything. And I'm willing to forgive the slow parts from episodes, 7 through 9. For how awesome I thought 1 through 6 were. And I really, really enjoyed the season finale. So I'm going to go with an A-.
Yeah. And I would, it's funny because if the slow episodes were the first 2 or 3 episodes of the season, and then, you know, we had the excitement of 1 through 6 and 10, we would have said, this is amazing. It's just because where the kind of slower episodes hit, and there's slower episodes in every season of every series. So, you're going to see, some slow episodes. It just happened at a weird time for me in the course of those episodes, but I think the last episode definitely saved it. I really liked the season. I was a little bit apprehensive coming into the season, but I did really like it. I think it saved a little bit. I will say, did you notice or pick up on that Helen was about to take a deal to flip on Navarro?
When was this? I did not pick up on that.
Yeah, so she talked to Agent Evans where she had the confession on paper and she was going to sign it. And then she had come back and then Jonah came in, somewhere. I'm assuming there was, a night, and then the next morning Jonah shows up, of course.
With the shotgun.
But that night prior, she had a signed confession from Agent Evans in her folder. And I had actually thought that maybe Jonah was going to figure it out. But Marty gets the information as he's getting on the plane that, you shouldn't get on that plane. Helen is going to flip on you or whatever. You have to flip on her first, basically, from Agent Miller. So I'm wondering if he relayed that to Navarro or Navarro got that from somebody else.
So, and let's clear this up for everybody. The deal that Frank is talking about is the back channeling that Helen was doing there, where she approaches Agent Evans and says, Marty Bird is willing to cooperate, willing to go into witness protection. Here is a signed confession. I need it on FBI letterhead. Clearly, the play here from Helen is, we're going to get off a plane. I'm going to show this to Navarro. These two are never making it back. They're going to kill him right here, dead on sight. And then as they're getting on the plane, Agent Miller calls Marty, asks why he's agreed to take this deal. And he doesn't. He said, what deal? What deal? And so you're thinking, somehow Agent Miller relayed that information back to Navarro. And so in the time it takes to fly from, East Bumfuck, Missouri to, you know, Juarez, Mexico, or wherever the hell they are.
Yeah.
That information is transferred to Navarro, and that was the final nail in the coffin for Helen?
It could have been. Now, it could have just been because, you know, we talked about when Marty finally stood up to Navarro, how he became, I don't want to say affectionate, but he gained affection for Marty when he stood up to him. And then we see Wendy kind of say, I killed my brother for you. You should appreciate that. And she said that in nicer terms, but that's really what she meant. And he was like, this is exactly what I expect from you. And maybe he felt pressured just by Helen, and that's why he killed her. So I don't want to read too much into it, but I wonder if just Helen going to the FBI was a big stepping stone for him if he had found out about it. And again, I don't know if that's the case, but I think we'll figure that out at the beginning of next year, you know.
Well, I tell you what, let's do this, Frank. Let's do our usual routine here. You know, obviously the ending was explosive, but let's work our way up to that because there's a lot of things that precede that phone call. And I had it written down specifically. That was a huge moment in the show. But we start off finding out, you know, we theorized, is Ben dead? We don't really see him die. Did Wendy make the call? Is she the one that agreed to this? And we find out, as we've seen so many times, thank God they own a funeral home because they're putting another body in the incinerator. Ben's in the back of Nelson's car. They pull in. Ruth's right there, obviously knows that Ben is dead. Was there a little ambiguity there with Ruth? Like, was she sure that was Ben? Did she know what was going on? My assumption when I watched the scene was that everyone was on the same page and that was definitely Ben. And
that was my assumption as well.
Okay. There's a little bit of confusion potentially here later in the episode. But very casually, Marty's just burning Wendy's brother in an incinerator, as you do.
Yeah, and any hopes that maybe Nelson was going to be more compassionate kind of went out the window. But we did see the softer side when he does decide to bring the body bags for them. And, you know, we eventually see him put a bullet through Helen's head, which, you know, it doesn't seem like Nelson's softer side is going to come out, I guess, is my point. Like, we maybe thought that would be the case, but, you know, he's a stone cold killer and he doesn't seem to get sick of just killing people.
One of the things I really overthought was that this, you know, the remains of Ben was going to somehow come into play here in this episode. You know, he's not placed in an urn. He's in a bag, in a box. Mm-hmm. I think that was basically just a setup that Jonah would later find that, which he does in the episode. I was thinking the FBI is going to find it. They're going to test it. They're going to have all these questions. Just overthinking it.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't really see that. Well, I mean, it did come into play with Jonah.
Yep.
Yeah. So it did come into play a little bit. You know, he kind of has that moment there and it's setting him off. Another parallel between Jonah and Ben there, where he's kind of, I think it's just all getting to him. I don't think he's bipolar or schizo or whatever, you know, you would say that Ben is. I think they said bipolar in the episode, even though he didn't really show to be completely bipolar. It looks more schizophrenic than anything. But you're going to, I think in future seasons, we're going to see Jonah flipping on and off a switch that might get him into trouble.
Well, and then we flash forward to Wendy, who's clearly struggling with the fact that she's just, you know, ordered the hit essentially of her brother, just drinking straight vodka, warm vodka out of a solo cup, the lowest of lows.
Yeah. And goes back for more. You know, first of all, she drank an entire handle. That was extreme to me. I don't think anyone can get, at least not her. I don't think anyone that is, you know,
in at her least throw situation. Like a Crystal Light packet in it or something. Just straight vodka. God bless.
I've never been in that much pain mentally, so I can't imagine. But drink an entire handle of vodka, it's not something that seems to be possible. And then presumably wakes up the next morning and goes back for more. It seemed quite aggressive.
Well, we see then we flash forward a little bit and we see Navarro, who's watching from a separate room at this baptism, crashed by a rival game, kills almost everyone there. Navarro steps out, you know, kills his last rival and then starts demolishing the room. Obviously heartbroken here, loses his girlfriend and his son, I believe, right?
The kid was alive.
Oh, maybe he was alive. That's
you mean
right.
The baby? Yes, the baby was crying. The baby was crying, right? So the baby was the last guy that was alive from the rival cartel goes to shoot the baby, and someone in the corner that looks like they were laying their shot pulls the trigger and kills him before and spares the kid. And then that obviously is a trigger moment for Navarro. Granted, he probably doesn't care much about his girlfriend given his history, but his kids seem to be important, and Wendy continues to pry on that situation.
Yeah, we actually see later in the show, and maybe this is the saving grace, as Marty approaches Agent Miller with proof. And that video from Jonah is now swung back around and made a very important appearance in this episode. Miller said in earlier episodes, if a cartel commits a crime on U.S. soil, they are able to intervene with military force. And Marty does communicate that, I believe, or Wendy does, to Navarro. And yeah, maybe that's why they choose that side. I'm sure all this adds up, but as I'm sitting here remembering back how broken up Navarro was about this shithead cartel gang coming in and busting up his baptism, I mean, all this is kind of rounding to a head.
Yeah, and you wonder if that's just, you know, Navarro was realizing he was going to have to choose because Helen was interjecting herself, stretching herself out in ways. So, you know, either Wendy and Marty were both going to have to die, or Helen was going to have to die. And that was, you know, obviously his choice. So it seems like, you know, I don't really know where I'm going this, but they that result was coming in one way or another. And Marty continues to prove that he has a leg up on the rest of the people around him, you know, to not only Agent Miller, but to Navarro and Wendy. And everyone else is just underneath him at this point. And I would say, considering Navarro's standing, obviously he's the cartel guy, but he's inferior to Marty's abilities for what he can do. He can do none of this, especially now without Marty. He has no choice now.
The choice is clear for Navarro, and we know how that ends. But as we move forward in the episode, we do see confirmation of Helen making a play to take over Byrd Enterprises. She has a secret meeting with Wilkes, asking about expediting her casino license. You know, as they're all hanging out on Helen's porch, I guess deck. Porch is in the front, deck's in the back. Very strict about that in our house, Frank. I don't know about you, because my wife seems to call everything a deck, and that's just not how it works. But
oh, really?
Yeah, everything. But gets the call that Helen is going to be, or not gets the call, but they're having the conversation. She's going to have to be put on the Byrd Enterprises letterhead, if you will. Marty asks for assurances that she will not touch the casino pieces. And Helen says, of course not. Of course not. And yet is having backroom meetings with Wilkes working on exactly that.
Yeah, what a weird way to play that, considering they were going to find out almost immediately that she was lying about it. You know, in some way, Marty was going to get that information in some way there. So they end up getting it from Jim Reynolds. Is that the name of the guy? No, it's Jim. I think it's Jim Reynolds or something. They end up getting that information, the guy that Wendy had been in contact with to dig up dirt on politicians and the FBI agent and all those folks.
Charles Wilkes's guy.
Yes, and digs up information for them and gives them a nice little heads up on what's going on, which, you know, snowballs into the next event.
Yeah, and that's kind of when Marty and Wendy know it's game on, and that's exactly what Marty says. And some actions are put into motion. One of the kind of lighter moments and more hilarious moments to me of the episode was we see that blubbering idiot Sam at the table is losing more money again, right? And he's there with his girlfriend. He hands her a stack of chips. As she lets them fall to the floor, she's left with a gorgeous engagement ring. And as Sam's going to propose, he says, it's even better. It's even better. It's my mom. He's taken the ashes of his dead mother, which he's cremated, and pressed them into a diamond and used this. And as his fiance, right, is getting ready to say, you know, this is really fucking weird, dude, she's like, I think you have a gambling problem. He's like, no, it's okay. But the whole scene, I thought, was much needed levity in this crazy situation.
Yeah, and they've done that throughout the season. You know, they have at least one lighter moment somewhere in there. Really funny moment, you know, considering he says, it's my mom, and somehow describes it as better than an engagement ring, which right. is pretty weird.
What?
I don't know, you know, I've been with my, you know, now wife for a long time, but I don't know if I would take a girlfriend and then give her my literally cremated mother in any way. It seems like a weird step, but it gives you a perspective on how lost Sam is throughout, you know, all of this.
The poor guy. And how much money does he have? The guy's blowing $800,000 at the casino.
Well, I guess, right? So he had a lot of, I think they made references last season about how much money he had, like, you know, vaguely on the side, or his maybe his mom's inheritance or something. They did make some sort of reference to that before. So I remember when he popped up this season, having not rewatched last season coming into, you know, this current season, something clicked in my head, like, oh, that's the guy with all the money. And then they promise him what, an 8% return on his money. It doesn't seem like he's going to get it, but Marty does then have the conversation with Agent Miller on, you know, oh, you're going to ruin this poor guy's life when you're just letting all these other people go, but you're going to make sure to ruin this guy's life because you have a vendetta against me, essentially. Which again, kind of playing his angle of, you let me do my dirty work and we'll catch a bunch more people that you would have never caught otherwise.
And really bad people, not those just helping launder money, which Sam clearly is, and Miller's onto it and arrests him there on the casino floor. But Frank mentioned a very important conversation in the episode, as Wendy calling Navarro to let him know that her brother was killed and that he was an issue and that she was willing to do that. I don't think looking for sympathy, but certainly got absolutely zero from Navarro, who says, what do you expect from me? To act like we're blood. You did what was required. No thank you was given at all.
Well, it's definitely not going to be his style, although I would argue that some sympathy and some thank you was given in the final scene there, wasn't it?
A little bit, as they hug and embrace and say, you know, this is the new beginning. But it's kind of funny to me. Now both birds have asked for a thank you. Marty, as he's let out of the hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Says, I didn't catch that. That's a good one. That's a good one.
So, you know, and he literally said, I think you would be nice. Navarro kind of looks at him like, are you fucking crazy, man? I'm not going to say thank you to you. Come on. If I say thank you to you, I got to say thank you to everybody, man. I might as well have you killed. But Ruth, what the hell's going on with Ruth, man? I think she's certainly, you know, losing her cool here a little bit. Weird attraction to Ben. It's almost like immediate love. And for whatever reason, this is the line that's too far. You know, her lover being killed here, comes in guns blazing, asking Wendy what happened to Ben. Interestingly, and I think smartly, Wendy turned it right back on Ruth and said, you let him out of a hospital where he was safe. Ruth quits. Wendy goes after her about her uncles. And she says, you're a fucking wolf bitch, which was a hilarious, you know, diss, I guess, if you will. You don't put those words together, but Ruth very much seems like she's on the outs here.
Oh yeah, I mean, she will be working against them in favor of Darlene coming forward. That's what we kind of conjectured after watching episode 9, that the Darlene situation was getting kicked in the next season, and rightfully so. This is, you know, their next obstacle, which is an old rival. Ruth, Wyatt, and Darlene are going to start working together on the poppy seeds. We did hear Darlene in episode 7 or 8 when the fundraiser was going on that, you know, oh, this is my casino. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to start to come forward as, you know, maybe we see Wendy and Marty doing a bunch of different things next season because, you know, this is the new beginning, as Navarro called it, I think. And we're maybe going to see Darlene kind of trying to push them out of the picture, just like Helen tried. You know, Ruth is a gas can. Wendy's correct. I think they're both correct, you know, in their arguments, which is kind of, you know, usually doesn't happen, but they are both correct. Ruth is, you know, is who got him killed. And Wendy was the one who ordered it. So they're both probably in the wrong somewhere on our moral spectrum that is the Ozark.
Ben had no shot, and thank God we don't have to see any more scenes of him crying and trying to win an Oscar or whatever the hell you get for these TV shows. But
He was incredible. He was good. Even up until the end, he was incredible. So,
And then we see what I think is an important scene, Wendy in bed, you know, really struggling with the whole situation. We haven't seen a ton of this throughout 3 seasons. There is a lot of crazy shit going on and big decisions, and things are happening fast. And look, you typically only have, you know, 45 to 60 minutes. You can't do too much of this, but we see her really struggling with the decision that she admits to making the phone call, admits that Marty was right when he wanted to run. Marty, as we predicted, says, let's dig deeper. Like, we're in this with Navarro. We can launder his money. That's how we get out of this.
Yeah, they flipped roles again. You know, at the beginning of the season, Marty was like, let's get out of this. And now Wendy's having regrets only after she's forced to order a hit on her own brother, that she wants out of this. And Marty sees dollar signs. You know, the vulnerability we hadn't really seen from Wendy much until those last two episodes. But now they're in the thick of it again. I mean, there's one thing about leaving mobs or cartels is you don't usually leave alive. So their options are pretty thin here.
Which we'll see Ruth goes to hell in here in just a second. But honestly, this is kind of how good marriages work, right? You have to have a little bit of flexibility and you have to be able to go back and forth. And as terrible as this marriage seems from the outside, they do support each other quite a bit through all this. I think
you see it in the height of the emotions when things are actually going badly that they do team up.
They rally around each other. Yep.
In every other situation, they don't. But every time, at least in the last, what, 3-4 episodes, every time there was a heightened state of awareness, a heightened state of issues going around them, they pull together. The other one props the one that's down up. You know, when Marty gets back from the hole and all that good stuff, you know, we see Wendy act in that role as well.
It's kind of like every group has that one shithead friend who's always getting in trouble and starting bar fights and all that. And you give them nothing but a hard time when it's just the group, just the guys.
Yeah.
Then if someone goes out that's not in your group and picks on this guy, you're the first person to have his back. It's kind of that mentality that we're seeing from Wendy and Marty here. But we mentioned Ruth. You can't really just leave the cartel. She goes to Helen, says she's out, doesn't want anything. She's not a rat. And Helen says, if the birds are out of the picture, would you come back? Ruth says, I ain't hard to find.
Yeah. And it's a good move by her, really. Like, listen, you got nothing to worry about. I'll work with you, not against you. And I wonder how sincere that promise is, or that,
it's off the table now. Minor, she's gone.
It's a minor commitment, but I wonder if that was just, listen, don't kill me, I'll think about it.
True. Oh, you mean from Ruth's point of view?
Yeah. Yeah. So it, again, it's has no bearing whatsoever now. But we're going to see Ruth definitely, and probably rightfully so, work against the birds. Her life was pretty bad, coming in, but when they showed up, everyone just started dying around her.
You know, it's, and I don't want to get too off the skis here, but parallels to the oil rush in North Dakota. And bear with me here, Frank. I come from
Am I having an effect on your brain right now? Am I changing your line of thinking about TV shows?
Yeah, you know, a little bit. I think everything, right? We always draw parallels to our real world situations. And we think about the oil boom that's taken place in the United States, specifically in North Dakota. A lot of these towns that are now overrun with, you know, oil derricks and brand new restaurants and hotels and schools were sleepy little towns of 50, 100 people. And now they're all insanely rich beyond belief, but typically don't want to go anywhere else and have seen the crime increase 17,000%. And sometimes the schools have gone to shit. I mean, they've completely lost their way of life. So they have more money, but have lost all quality of life. Very similar situation here to Ruth.
Yeah, you see that as a familiar theme throughout, you know, real life situations across the board. I've lived in the middle of nowhere for a long time. I've only probably about 4 years in my life haven't lived in the middle of nowhere, and, you know, continue to see expansions and things that happen that really sort of upset people up this way. It is interesting to see, you know, Ruth was fine to be a part of that as long as she was the one gaining the ability. And I think a lot of people in real life would have the same, you know, line of thinking until, you know, everything goes to shit around them and they no longer have a personal, you know, escape from any of it.
Well, we see Ruth and Darlene just growing closer as Darlene makes the calculated attempt. I did not know she was this wise to go after Frank Cosgrove Jr. Obviously, Frank beat the shit out of Ruth in a previous episode, and Darlene is going to do something about it. Marty and Wendy have cut ties with the mob, and that was their end game. That was it. That was the most they would do. Darlene says that's not good enough. Goes up, follows him in his stupid Trans Am and comes up with a shotgun. And I think hilariously is poking around for his little tiny penis. It says you pick your dog's teeth with that thing.
Yeah, and kind of, kind of the stereotypical, if you beat up women, you must have a small dick type of thinking, yeah. Right? Like you're compensating for something. Probably the same type of person that would drive around in an old Trans Am, that's loud and admitting a lot of carbon in our great atmosphere. But you see these types of characters all the time, and she does rightfully shoot off his penis. But make no mistake here, this has nothing to do with even what he did to Ruth. It's just to gain Ruth's trust. The cult-like atmosphere that she portrays preys on people in pain, preys on people that are down and out and looking for hope. And she has done it with Wyatt. And soon as someone hits the rock bottom, they're going to, she's going to try to exploit that. So, she does it with Wyatt. She tries to do it with three, but he's not in that state of mind. And soon as Ruth is, she sees an open window and rightfully just jumps through it.
So she has agreed to let the cops out of distribution of her heroin in exchange to get Ben out of a psych ward, which gained Ruth's trust, ultimately it killed Ben. So that's not necessarily great. Then she goes back and shoots the dick off of the guy who beat the shit out of her. Another thing to bring Ruth in. And then she also knows it'll get her a meeting with Frank Cosgrove Jr. Offers him distribution of the product that was supposed to be distributed by the cops, and then also offers a 50-50 split and the constructing contracts on three new jobs that are coming up. So clearly has a plan in mind here and is thinking a couple steps ahead, something I didn't think Darlene was capable of.
Yeah, and in classic American opioid business, she's selling all of the heroin and then opening up opioid recovery places, right? So she's profiting on both ends of the deal, getting people addicted and then profiting off them staying there through some sort of assistance, I'm sure. But yeah, now how often do you see someone shoot the dick off a mob member and then get a contract with them to move the heroin? And I will remind those that have watched and those listening that the main thing with the mob is that they have this big trucking business. That's how they were able to move the money for Marty, and this is how they're going to be able to move the drugs for Darlene now.
Yeah, and then we see a really cool shot. I mean, cool being relative term here because of what it's about to foresee here, but Ruth and Wyatt looking out over the poppies, and they're seeing how beautiful it is. And Darlene's maybe, 50, 100 feet back, and she's got Zeke on her chest, and she's looking out, and we see three generations of business potentially, right? We had Jacob and Darlene who had no one to pass this on to, and then they get Zeke, and so there's someone maybe way down the line if they can stay alive that long, but she's filled this gap with Wyatt and Ruth. So when Darlene goes, maybe those two can run it. And then as Zeke gets older, maybe he can run it. And so Darlene has created her perfect little family.
Yeah, in true cult fashion, right? Like pass the buck down to the next generation and indoctrinate those people. Granted, this is more about, selling heroin, but, indoctrinating these people to continue on with what they're doing. Ruth says, Wyatt said something like, how do you feel, or how's it look? And she says, it's fucking beautiful. So if you've ever seen poppy fields, they are quite beautiful, which is a kind of interesting thing considering the heroin that, can come out of them and how awful that situation is across America, how such a beautiful thing can be turned into such a bad thing. So it'll be a weird, pull and push between what's going to happen next season. We already see the head-on collision that's going to happen, because I don't think Darlene's going to stop with this. I don't think there's going to be a separation of Marty and the cartel and Darlene and the mob like there is right now. I mean, they could coexist here, right? But I'm fairly certain it's not going to happen, because Darlene has shown she is willing to go above and beyond to protect the people that she wants to care about. And Ruth isn't going to let anything rest. She wanted Frank Jr. killed when she woke up in the hospital. There's going to be some animosity and probably head-on collisions next season between those two groups and those two sides.
Well, and we've talked about it a little bit, but obviously the episode finishes up as, you know, Marty and Wendy are sleeping and get a call from Navarro, woken up saying, hey, I expect you on a plane in 15 minutes. We're doing another baptism, I believe. Really no time to think about it. They just have to go. And then we see the call between Agent Miller and Marty. And just before that, you'd mentioned it too, Frank, Jonah busts into Helen's house with a shotgun, and Helen, you know, expertly talks him off a ledge here and kind of fills him in, like Ben did to her daughter, of all the shady shit, specifically, you know, Wendy ordering the hit on Uncle Ben, who Jonah was so close with.
And we don't get an exact timeline with Jonah, so I'm sitting there on the edge of my seat, like, I know he's not going to shoot her, but is she talking long enough that Nelson walks in and blows him away? Because I did say that I did predict that Jonah was going to die and do something stupid and get himself killed in this season. And I was like, this is my moment. I need this. But I also didn't want him to die. Because I'm sitting there thinking, you know, Nelson's going to, if we don't see the exact timeline. So, like, I don't know if you're under the assumption that Helen already knows. She already got the phone call that maybe she's getting picked up by Nelson first. And then they're going to the birds. So I'm sitting there thinking, if she stalls long enough, does Nelson walk in and just blow Jonah away, or vice versa, Jonah turn around and put a shell into his chest, what's going to happen there? So, you know, unfortunately it didn't happen. And then I'm sitting there thinking, well, he's going to find, you know, the letterhead and kind of give them a heads up. But, you know, instead it ends up being Agent Miller that gives Marty the heads up anyway.
You know, the crazy thing is, now that Helen is gone, if Jonah doesn't tell anyone, no one will ever know he went over to their house.
No, they won't know, which is, you know, fairly interesting, because I don't think it shows anything other than the fact that he's got some of his, unlike Charlotte, he's got that, you know, bird blood in him, where I don't think he's too afraid to kill people if he has to. And I think in the coming seasons, as he's getting older, that's going to end up happening somewhere.
He's gonna end up getting
his hands dirty.
Well, I mean, I think we do have to have that conversation has to happen. Jonah now has that information that his mother called in a hit on her brother, and we see them biting back a little bit at their parents a couple times throughout this season. I think that will be a storyline that'll have to be played out at some point in season 4. I don't know how big or how little that will be, but Jonah's a kid who seems to internalize a lot of things, and then it, you know, kind of comes flying out, right? And
you saw it when Buddy died, who he described in this season as his best friend to Ben. Ben, you know, then has that symbolism of running into the lake naked, and then you see Ben become Jonah's best friend. You know, you see him fill the friend role that Buddy had, maybe not as intensely, but he definitely did. So then, you know, that's kind of all comes together, and then he dies, and then you see Jonah go off the cliff again, just like he did when Buddy had passed away.
And then, of course, the last scene of season 3, as they exit the plane and Marty and Wendy are out, and then Helen's just slightly in front. And then, of course, we see Nelson trailing in the back as they're approaching Navarro at his palace, his compound. And Nelson walks up, puts a bullet through Helen's brain, blood everywhere. Navarro hugs the birds, and we're looking forward to a hell of a season 4.
Yes, sir. And Nelson did not give her the heads up. Which I think we all saw this coming, where Nelson was going to have to kill her. And pretty poetic ending. I was sitting there like pretty relaxed in my chair watching them come off the plane, not expecting, you know, I wasn't watching the time of the episode. So I'm like not expecting it to end there. I'm expecting to see a baptism. I even remarked to my wife, like, I don't think we're going to see the end result here. Like, this is how they're going to make you come back. And we're not even going to see like what happens. I was pretty confident that Marty and Wendy weren't going to get killed, but we're not going to get to see how this all plays out. And then all at once I said, you know, the gun goes off, and I just jumped up and was like, oh my God, just screaming out loud, because it scared the hell out of me. I did not think that was coming. You know, at least not right there. And that was just, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful end scene. They're covered in brain fragments hugging, and, you know, Wendy and Marty are clearly relieved, but also just like, holy shit, that could have been us, and hugging the cartel leader.
Look, we're not done here. We're going to talk through some season 4 predictions. We're also going to go through the death pool that we had in the first episode, the preview, and kind of laugh at ourselves here a little bit. But wanted to give a quick shout out to Casey Smith, who left a 5-star review on iTunes. Duke and Frank, amazing job on the recaps. Great insight on the episodes and pretty much spot on. Love the prediction pods. 5-star rating for me, bros. Big shout out to Casey there. And thanks to everybody who's listened on iTunes and Podbean and anywhere you find podcasts thus far. If you like this and enjoyed it, please do leave a review. If you want to subscribe, we'll be back here for more. And if you want to see more shows, hit us up on Twitter. I am at DukeDFS. And of course, Frank's at RealFrankBrank as well. But let's start with the death pod, and then we'll go to season 4 predictions, because I think we'll go through the deaths here pretty quickly. If you remember back in the season 2 review and season 3 preview, we had a couple of main characters we went through who would die. We both said, no chance Marty dies. You said, no chance Wendy dies. I thought Wendy would die. Clearly, very alive. There's just there's no way you can kill her. I'm an idiot. I shouldn't have said yes. I really thought, I didn't know that we'd for sure have a 4th and 5th season. I thought the issue between Marty and Wendy would come to a head where, even though Marty's not a killer, maybe even he would have to step up and take this chick out. Her power was too blinding.
And if you would have asked me a couple episodes in, I would have maybe said that Marty potentially shoots her in the back or something, you know, as it got to be. But it actually went the opposite direction. As the season went on, they grew closer together. And, you know, I think we're going to see more collaboration in the upcoming season.
We both said we don't think Charlotte's going to die, but we also didn't think she'd be as involved as she was in this season. I think she actually did a pretty good job acting it out all the way through. You were pretty sure Jonah was going to die.
Yeah, like you said, I thought that he was going to overreach and find himself out. And I'll say right now, I'm going to predict that he dies next season.
Oh, here we go. Get ready for another 10 episodes of Frank saying next episode he's going
to
die.
He has to overreach somewhere.
We both thought Darlene would die. I thought that was a no-brainer, but clearly she has a bigger role to play here. And the relationship with Ruth and Wyatt means she's probably going to be around for a little bit. If the play is that she does have her little family set up and they're going to pass this off to Ruth and Wyatt and then on to Zeke, I can see her dying relatively early, maybe 3rd episode of season 4. I'm not so sure Ruth doesn't come back to the backside, the good side, if you will, and take Wyatt with her.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused at what is the good side now, because I looked at my wife halfway through the episode. I'm like, we're rooting for Darlene now? Is that the feeling? It's crazy how these seasons and these series can flip you on a person and make them likable. But I'm like, I think we're rooting for her now. And now I'm not sure who to root for next season. But I'm going to stick with, you know, she's going to have to die. So, like, before this series ends entirely, she's going to go down somewhere. And like you said, Ruth ending up with Zeke was like part of my prediction a little bit. And that's probably going to come to a head as well. You know, if she does die, that'll be Ruth's new reason to continue on.
I think we both thought Helen was going to die, and she did all the way at the last episode. We both thought Sheriff Nix would die, and he's very much alive and now almost not writing himself out of the episode, but he doesn't know anything to the birds. He's now out from under Darlene a little bit as far as the distribution goes.
Yeah, without some crazy change, I mean, his character was essentially killed off.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you see him kind of, the first time we saw him was on the water, right? And then he was just like, oh, hey, Jonah, whatever. You know, I don't care what you're doing. Just be careful. And then, you know, you see him just take this backseat approach to everything that's going on. He's very, very disinterested as to what's going on. It doesn't seem like he's going to put agents out to interfere with either the birds or Darlene's little cult group there. I don't think he's going to play a role going forward, other than the whole writing this season just seemed like he was just going to sit back and not be a part of it. So his character and his motivations are mostly dead. So maybe that's a half point.
You know, we're straddling the line here between just death predictions and then talking about season 4, which I love. And as I'm looking through this list, I'm realizing if this continues on as it has, what's next for the birds? Because we never see Rachel. We don't see Tuck. We don't see the Blue Cat. We don't see the strip club in this episode. It's all Casino, which is clearly bigger and better. And they bought the horse farm. We haven't really revisited that since they cut the balls off the rival gang member's horse. What is potentially next for season 4 and the birds? What's bigger and better than
mention the next hotel that they now own, next casino and hotel that they own now. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I think we'll know right away next year. But, for right now, I don't know where they're going to go, especially with a quote-unquote new beginning. How do we see this playing out. You know, Navarro's down a lot of guys, it seems like. So his abilities are going to be, you know, his hands are going to be behind his back a little bit. I don't know what that means for them. If he expects them to be in Mexico, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to play out.
Europe? Do they just take over the world? Do they start, you know, do they head to Monaco? And you know,
you start to wonder if it moves out of the Ozark, though, right? Like, you start to wonder if that's the case.
Yeah. So their license is in the state of Missouri. And so you'd think they would potentially make some more power plays and grow their empire there. But it's Missouri. There's only so much you can really do in Missouri, as you know, Wendy and Frank tend to say here. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to, obviously, season four. Do we have a release date yet for that, Frank? I haven't seen anything.
No, I would imagine that it's the same, around the same time next year, I think. You know, so, you know, what is today? March. So maybe March next year, maybe a little bit before that. You know, if the people are enjoying, now the COVID-19 outbreak may pause that a little bit, but you know, if they were maybe planning on getting out faster, I think if the ratings are really good, they tend to go a little bit quicker. If the ratings slow down, maybe they make you wait a little bit longer. You know, I don't know.
So let's finish with this. Predictions we're proud of. I called Ben and Ruth's relationship. I didn't know it would go this deep. I called, I don't know if I did it on the pod or just on my couch, that Nelson was going to whack Helen as they got off the plane. I think you and I said that that was clearly set up. Nelson was going to kill her. We got quite a few things right. I thought Marty was going to kill Navarro because, I don't know, sensationalism. That was not right. So, Frank, what'd you get right? What'd you get wrong?
Well, I said a lot of garbage. It sounded good at the time. That's kind of my go-to. And then hope something's, you know, people only remember the one home run you hit. They don't remember the four strikeouts before.
There you go.
So, no, what I got right, I thought Charlotte would be, you know, either completely gone or she would play a big role. And I think she played a big role. She was kind of protector of the family. She held them together in a weird way when she tried to leave at some point. We didn't talk about her falling out with Joan a little bit in the last episode, but, there, you know, I think she's going to continue to play a big role in this. She has that steady Marty hand, whereas Jonah has that more crazy Wendy hand. So I guess I was right on Charlotte. I thought Jonah would die. Didn't happen. Ruth did basically what we thought.
Yep.
Right. Up until the very end. You know, Darlene was wrong, like you said. Helen was right. And then, you know, half point with Sheriff Nix, because I thought that maybe he would be diminished or killed in some way. And he was certainly diminished quite a bit. And I definitely thought Wendy, Marty would continue on, not together. I thought that was going to be, I thought potentially there was going to be a movement separate ways, but now they're stronger than what they were last season, it seems.
Do you think we see Erin, Helen's daughter, in season four?
No.
She's a loose end. She knows too much. Granted, it's from a crazy person, but was confirmed by Jonah and Charlotte, and she went back to Chicago. They just had one loose end killed.
If it cycles back to her dad, then I think dad may be dead. But I think that was their way of just getting, I think that end is tied up, but I don't know for sure, but I think it is.
I'm glad.
What happens when she doesn't hear from her mom?
Exactly. When she doesn't come back from Mexico and no one's getting a hold of her. And then Erin tells her dad, oh my God, it could be this. And then he seems to be, you know, some highfalutin guy in Chicago with a nice Mercedes. Maybe he gets someone on the horn and questions start being asked.
Yeah, that could be another loose end. I think if that does happen, maybe it happens quick next season. And it's like, they just show the body bags rolling out of Nelson's car. Maybe, I don't know. I don't think it'll be a huge storyline, but you're right. There will be some questions, I'd imagine, on where she is.
Well, look, hopefully you guys have enjoyed yourself. Frank and I have certainly enjoyed season three of Ozark. As we hit this dead period in the sports cycle, we are happy to jump on and hopefully provide you guys with some entertainment. Like I mentioned earlier, if you want to hear us do another show, let us know. We are open and have the time to get some things done, and would love to maybe even create a separate channel if this thing takes off. So love the continued support. Really appreciate it. Any final thoughts on season three, Frank?
Yeah, it was good. Like you said, BB Plus, I thought it started off on fire. It slowed down a little bit there towards the end and ended on a good note. I thought it was a really, really good season. And I'm traditionally not very optimistic about these things, but starting with the trailer on through, I thought it was really good. Besides the two episodes of Ben, I just thought it felt like time filler a little bit, but overall really good. I was really pleased with it.
Cannot wait for that season 4 trailer to come out. Man, we might have to jump back on and just reminisce, and I'll probably give it a rewatch because, Frank, we're sitting here taking notes throughout the whole episode. Yep. Our whole role here was hopefully to fill in those gaps, but I'm sure we missed a couple small details. So let's go watch it back again and jump back on here in just a little bit. But for now, I am Duke. For my boy Frank, this has been Ozark and Chill. We'll see you guys next time.